The Sports Desk at the Columbus Dispatch presents the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
With your host, Ohio State basketball beat writer Adam Jardy.
Brandon Batiste says, give me the rock. Here it goes. Up, up, and away. Slam jam, bam. And now he does a little dance.
Now, the Buckeye Extra Basketball Podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Adam Jardy from the Columbus Dispatch. Today is Sunday, February 5th, 2023. It's my official duty to welcome you into episode 321 of the Buckeye Extra Men's Basketball Podcast. Welcome to Jubilation City. Welcome to the Jardy Basement. It is late in the evening here on Sunday, and we are about 10 hours removed, 9 to 10 hours, excuse me, math is hard, from Ohio State tipping off earlier today at the Chrysler Center in Ann Arbor. And after the game was over, took care of post-game interviews, updated my game story, wrote the post-game notebook, which published immediately since it was an afternoon game, stopped for food on the way back to Columbus, and then got back here to record this podcast. So normally this is something that comes to you from the arena or from the venue. Arena and venue mean the same thing. Usually it comes from more immediately when the game is over. But in this case, I wanted to get home and this way I can help get the kids on the bus in the morning. But earlier today, Ohio State dropped its fourth straight game and ninth of its last 10. This one, a 77-69 loss to Michigan, the second straight game in which Ohio State never led, coming on the heels of a loss to Wisconsin at Value City Arena on Thursday. Michigan scored on the opening possession of the game and then led for the duration. This overall, to me, felt like, despite being an 8-point loss, felt like a little bit better overall performance for Ohio State. I tried to collect some of my thoughts and just kind of let some of this marinate as I drove back from Ann Arbor. So I'm going to try to keep this podcast on task and not get too rambly here. But as usual, run down the box score here real quick. A couple of things that jump out. Ohio State, for the first time in 12 games, was not led by Bryce Sensabaugh. It was Bruce Thornton who played his most impactful game for Ohio State in quite some time. Bruce had 22 points on 10 of 13 shooting. He hit a pair of threes, one assist, one turnover, two steals in, 36 minutes, 21 seconds to lead Ohio State. Now, this is a significant uptick for Bruce, who, as has been discussed on multiple occasions and in multiple ways, has struggled at a pretty significant level recently, and I think is a big part of the reason, not to pin it all on the freshman point guard shoulders, but when you look at why Ohio State has struggled in the way that it has here in this last month plus, Bruce has struggled, and the offense has felt that. But he looked confident. He looked like he could push the issue or force the issue. He looked like he could force the attack a little bit. Mostly, he just looked like the point guard that Ohio State recruited. This was a solid game for Bruce. We're gonna hear some of his comments here as we go through the podcast. But he led Ohio State in scoring. I also felt this is a pretty solid game, at least compared to recent games, for Justice Suing, who started and in 33 minutes had 14 points on 5 of 12 shooting, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He did not have a turnover. And I felt like he played just a more composed, aggressive, kind of all-around type of game. You'd like to see a few more shots fall, but he had 14. And then Bryce Sensabaugh came off the bench in this one and just took a lot of really contested shots. Michigan's length really bothered him, and he finished with 14 points on 14 shots, 4 of 14 from the floor. He was 5 of 6 from the free throw line. He did have a team-high 9 rebounds. He's really started to crash the glass a little bit more lately. He did foul out, so that also limited his playing time a little bit. He fouled out late. But otherwise, Zed Key, 6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 turnovers, 2 steals in 24 minutes, 23 seconds. Sean McNeil, 5 points, did not hit a 3. He was 0 of 3 from 3. He had 2 assists. Ice started the game. Only played 12 minutes and 33 seconds. Finished with 2 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Ohio State as a team only had 6 turnovers in this game, but also only had 6 assists, which I don't think accurately reflects that there was better ball movement in this game. Some of it resulted in guys going to the line, so you're not getting assists. But anyway, Ice started, only played 12 minutes and 33 seconds. Bryce played 25 minutes off the bench. And then Felix Akpara and Gene Brown III both played 13 minutes and 41 seconds exactly, which I find interesting. Akpara, 4 rebounds, no points, 0 of 3 from the line. Really struggled in this game. He had a turnover, and Gene Brown hit a 3, had 2 rebounds. And then Roddy Gale also played 9 minutes and 38 seconds. He was 0 of 4 from the floor, but he was 3 of 4 from the line. He drew 2 fouls, did a few things. I thought was a overall, you noticed him a couple of times, still working on finishing when he gets to the rim. But overall, he gave him some things. Tanner Holden, healthy, unused substitute in this game, did not play at all. So continues to move in the wrong direction on the bench for whatever reason. Big story for Michigan in this game was Hunter Dickinson. He's a big story any game when he's 7-1, but 26 points on 10 of 15 shooting, 6 of 9 from the line. Dude committed 1 foul and drew 8 fouls. Ohio State had no answer for him. Finished 26 points, 11 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 turnover, and he blocked 2 shots. He just did. He just carried Michigan in this game. It was between him. Jet Howard had 16 points on 5 of 12 shooting. Some of them were, felt like they were, he hit some difficult shots. Shots that kept Ohio State kind of at arm's length. And Kobe Bufkin had 13 points for Michigan on 5 of 10 shooting. Ohio State in this game shot 40.6% from the floor, allowed Michigan to shoot 49.1%. Buckeyes were 5 of 16 from 3, 31.3%. Michigan was 8 of 23, 34.8%. Ohio State had a forced 9 turnovers, and had a 10-2 advantage in points off of those turnovers. Michigan outscored Ohio State 30-22 in the paint. Teams were dead even on second chance points, and Ohio State with a 4-0 advantage in fast break points. If that doesn't scream Big Ten basketball in February, I don't know what does. But this again knocks Ohio State now below 500 on the season. The Buckeyes fall to 11-12 overall, 3-9 in Big Ten play. This is the latest in the season that Ohio State has been sub 500 since the 2003-2004 season, when the Buckeyes were also 11-12, and they did finish sub 500 that season. Ohio State lost in the first round of the Big Ten tournament that year to go 14-16 overall in what was Jim O'Brien's final season at Ohio State. So up next now for Ohio State, the Buckeyes will play a pair of home games. They will host Northwestern on Thursday and then host Michigan State on Sunday. That's a Northwestern team that Michigan thumped on last Thursday, 68-51, but then went to Wisconsin on Sunday afternoon and emerged with a 54-52 win. Northwestern is 58th at KenPom, number 97 in offense, number 34 in defense. And in case you're wondering, Ohio State has dropped to number 15 in offense, number 88 in defense, but still, despite a sub 500 record, 35th at KenPom. This team breaks computers. The algorithms cannot figure out this Ohio State team and where it sits in relation to the rest of college basketball, because at this point, this team isn't even near the NCAA tournament bubble right now. But if you were to look at the algorithms, they would tell you otherwise. Which I think is a pretty good summarization of what this season has turned into for Ohio State. So we're going to get into more about this game here in a moment. Before we do, I want to remind you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, wherever it is you enjoy the finest of podcasts. And if you subscribe, you'll automatically get the newest ones as soon as our man, Patrick Flaherty, the Podfather, is able to grab them and get them out there for you. While you're subscribing or downloading, please leave a review. Please click 5 stars. And as always, please do consider telling a friend. Thanks to everyone who's taken the time to do that. Now, I also want to pause here in a second and turn the audio over to the public address announcer at the Chrysler Center, because as has become tradition When I go there, I will record him saying as many names as I can, because he has a unique, just droll, discouraging way of saying each player's name. And it really jumped out years ago. The name that always sticks in my head is hearing him go, Mark Loving. And it's just, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that finds it funny, but every year I just keep my phone at the ready. And when different guys score, I'll hit record so you can hear him say different names. I did a story about him a couple of years ago where he talked about it, and he described his approach as, his name is Anthony Bellino is his name, Bowling Green graduate. And when I asked him he would describe his delivery over the mic up at Michigan, he said, basically what I envision myself as doing, discouraging the other team from that type of behavior. I just try to approach it with some enthusiasm, a little bit of fanhood as well. We're allowed to be a little biased for our guys and not encouraging for the away team. And that's a fair way to put it. So without further ado, here's what it sounded like inside the Chrysler Center on Sunday. All right, so I want to start with the notion that I had that this was a better overall game for Ohio State. It just seemed like they had a little bit more to them. They didn't have enough to win. Michigan played a better game than Ohio State today, and we're not talking moral victories, and we're not talking about trying to find some sort of positive spin on what is the ninth loss in 10 games, but I just felt like Ohio State played a little bit better overall today. So we spoke with Bruce Thornton and Justice Suing after the game, and that question was posed to both of them. And Bruce kind of he disagreed with that thought, and his response was, he said, I didn't feel like we played better, but we played freely. It wasn't so much tense that people were overthinking certain situations. We were just playing the game we've been doing such a young age, free flowing. He said, when you play the game like that, it's way easier than playing it tense and frustrated. One thing we were saying was have a free spirit. I know our situation is not really good right now, but having a free spirit, come every day and be the best player you can be every single day. So that seems to be the latest and maybe the most significant voice of what this team has been going through and how this losing streak has continued to impact this team's play. And the feeling that these guys, there's a reason that they keep, at least for a while, we're losing close game after close game after close game. And then obviously some of the more recent ones have gotten a little bit more one-sided. But if we felt like this team was playing tight and looked like it was playing tight, well, that's what they're seeing as well. Justice Suing said, our plan was to be more aggressive. A lot of guys were playing more free. We got the ball moving a lot better than the last few games. Something to build on, but we've got work to do. And that's obviously, yes, you have work to do and you're running out of time. There's only 8 games left in Big Ten play right now, obviously. But here's something else that Bruce had to say on this topic. He said, losing and having that tense feeling like you want to win so bad, you're tensed up because you want it so bad. That's just the nature of it. I always know playing tense like that will never get you nowhere. Winning, you're going to play freely, play your game. It's hard to have that mindset, but we kind of need it because us playing freely on offense but aggressive on defense will get the job done. Now, Holtman was asked about the same idea that, like, hey, Bruce felt like you didn't necessarily maybe play better, but you played more freely. Holtman said, I think for stretches, we certainly played better. We certainly had a much better start. In stretches, we played pretty well. We had some clean looks that we missed and some forced shots. I think there's still too many issues we've got to get better at, but there were certainly some quality plays and quality possessions. Asked just straight up, like, did you feel like you played better in this game than you have recently? He said, I thought there were some stretches of really good play. I think some of the issues that have challenged us, inability to get a stop when it's a 3 or 5 point game, too many shots over length, not playing off 2 feet, shows in some cases our inexperience together and our youth. Those two things come to mind as preventing us from being able to put significant game pressure on them in terms of it being a 1 or 2 possession game. After maybe the 10-minute mark, it seemed to stay at 8 or 9 the rest of the half. Those two issues, but there was some good play for sure. The initial thought was that there were some good possessions. So this was a game, again, Ohio State never led. And once it fell behind on the first possession on a three-pointer from Doug McDaniel, Ohio State never even tied it from that point. And you see this sort of constant theme. The first time we saw this was the game against San Diego State in Maui. And sitting there in the Lahaina Civic Center and watching that game, like, Ohio State kept coming, but it never was able to get like that one or two extra stops that it needed. San Diego State just kind of held the Buckeyes at arm's length. And that was something that I thought, obviously we know now that Texas Tech is not a very good team. We've seen that play out in Big 12 play this season. But 2 days later, after having watched Ohio State blow the doors off of Cincinnati and then outrun Texas Tech and basically, I mean, take the lead in that game and just keep the Red Raiders at arm's length, much like San Diego State had done, I thought just in the span of 3 days, like, you saw that kind of growth. Similar situations, but in the first game, Ohio State couldn't get that stop. And in the third game, Ohio State did not allow the other team to get that stop to keep Ohio State in check. So in this game, you had a couple of occasions where the Buckeyes were knocking on the door, but every time Michigan was able to come up with the next play. And I feel like that's anecdote, or without like having, you know, crazy detailed analytical evaluations right here. I feel like from watching these games, this is kind of a theme here with this team, where Ohio State falls behind 6-2, first two possessions, back-to-back threes for Michigan, but then pulls within 6-4. Zed hits a hook shot. Then immediately, Hunter Dickinson hits a jumper. Justice Suing misses a three, and then Hunter tips in a miss from Terrence Williams. So you had it at 6-4. You give up a bucket. You miss a three. You give up a bucket. It's a 6-point deficit. Now, Michigan goes ahead 12-6. Sean McNeil hits a baseline jumper. Bryce Sensabaugh hits a jumper. Ohio State forces a turnover. Sensabaugh gets fouled, but he only hits one of two. He splits the free throws with 13:38 left in the first half. So the Buckeyes are within one. And then Sean McNeil gets called for a foul. And then Roddy Gale misses a three. Hunter Dickinson scores. Zed misses. Jet Howard scores. You were down one with a chance to tie the game. Now you're down six. That's just in the first 10 minutes of the first half. Ohio State trailed by as many as 10 here in the first half. After starting 4-9, Ohio State then went into one of these lulls that we've seen, the missed seven of the next eight shots. But after trailing 29-19 and then 34-23, Ohio State gets within 34-31 on an 8-0 run. Zed hits a jumper. So you've had a stretch here. Ohio State forces a miss. Michigan's bench got called for a technical. You force a turnover. Suddenly, you're within three. Try to get a stop. Well, Kobe Bufkin scores on a layup, pushes it back to five. And once again, Ohio State cuts it to three, gets the ball back, forces a Kobe Bufkin misses a three. Justice Suing gets the ball in the right block, misses the layup. Other end, Zed fouls Hunter Dickinson. He splits the free throws. Zed airballs a jumper. And then Jet Howard hits a jumper. So you went from you were down three with the ball to now you're down six again. And then Suing did hit a three, which is something that has not happened much lately, to pull within 41-36. And after a Doug McDaniel miss, Ohio State has a chance for the final shot of the half. And they're down five. And this is a chance to make it a one possession game going to the locker room. And after having been down by double digits, you're thinking here's an opportunity like this. You get a bucket here. Let's see where this takes you. And then Michigan threw a zone at Ohio State. And I asked Bruce Thornton about this. He ends up giving the ball to Justice. Justice kind of dribbles backward, like away from the 3-point line along the right wing, ends up heaving up a ill-advised, off-balance, leaning three-point attempt that looked like he was also maybe trying to draw contact, but Michigan was smart. They did not make any contact. Air ball, end of the half. You're down five. And there were a couple of guys talking to each other, like, what the heck just happened there? Guys were not pleased with how that possession turned out. And Bruce Thornton blamed himself. He said, we thought they were going to be a man. They ended up going zone last minute. It was too late with 10 seconds left. With them in the zone, we're trying to get a play from coach, and it was just bad timing, honestly. I didn't really communicate as a point guard. Everybody needed to be on their spot. I take the blame for that because that could have been a big key heading into the second half with a score or a better shot. Now, again, in the second half, Michigan scores in the first possession. Hunter Dickinson goes right over Felix Okpara, who started the second half in place of Zed Key. And Justice hits a jumper to pull within five. Bruce Thornton gets a steal, gets a fast break layup. Ohio State's within three, 43-40. Terrence Williams hits a tough jumper. Just one of those I just wrote down, tough jumper, like you tip your hat. Then Ice scores his only field goal of the game to pull Ohio State again within three. But the ball ends up in the right corner, and Kobe Bufkin drills a three-pointer, 48-42. Ohio State's down six. They'd have more chances. They got within 50-47. Bryce Sensabaugh hit a three, his only three-pointer of the game, 50-47. But then this is the sequence where Felix Okpara just got taken out of the game by Hunter Dickinson. Dickinson scored over him to make it 50-44, and then after Sensabaugh pulls within three, Hunter beats Felix on the left block. Sensabaugh has a quick miss. Hunter beats Felix again. And at this point, Holtman had Zed Key trying to come in for Felix, but they had to use the timeout, stop the bleeding. Ohio State's down seven, and they never got any closer than that. And that just seems to be like a common thread. I'm sure if I went back through the play-by-play of most of these last several games, there have been several occasions where it's just like they need like two more stops. And they just can't get them. So that's, to me, like the biggest story, or maybe one of the big takeaways coming out of this, is that Ohio State played better, but still defensively, it's just not there for this team. Looking at the numbers here on KenPom this year, the loss against Wisconsin was actually one of Ohio State's best defensive performances this season, or at least in Big Ten play. They held Wisconsin to 95.8 points per 100 possessions. Now, for a point of reference, Indiana the game before was 132.2. Illinois before that was 105.3. Heck, even Iowa, when Ohio State won that game 93-77, Iowa was at 108.7. So 95.8 was a pretty solid overall defensive effort from Ohio State, but Michigan today was at 114.4. So, you know, another one of those, like, take a step forward, take another step or two back. Just kind of how things continue to unfold for this team. As far as trying to guard Hunter Dickinson, I thought this was another example of, this team doesn't have a Kyle Young. This team doesn't have an EJ Liddell. You know, you think back to when Ohio State beat Michigan in Ann Arbor last year, like that ended. Or that post-game press conference consisted of Chris Holtman publicly stumping for EJ Liddell as Big Ten Player of the Year and wanting to know why more people weren't saying that that was a realistic possibility. Because between him and Kyle Young, they really frustrated Hunter in that game, and he was not able to do much of anything. And then you look at this game here, and you think back to just a couple of games, well, not a couple of games ago at this point, but against Purdue, 7-4 Zach Edey only had 16 points against Ohio State, 6 of 11 from the floor. And that's doing a pretty good job on, you know, the nation's player of the year. But Hunter Dickinson just physically abused and dominated Ohio State for large stretches of this game. And I asked Holtman, what are you trying to coach Felix through in those moments? Like, what are you telling him? Like, how do you combat that? And Holtman said, I'm trying to coach him to add about 10 pounds of muscle. There's some technique involved with it, but as much as anything, with his length, he needs to add 10 pounds of muscle to be able to defend those guys. He's a really smart kid and a really smart player. He's going to be able to learn post defense at a really high level. You add his length, his intelligence, his motor. The only thing he's missing is strength. We need him to get stronger. Felix did walk in with that walking boot again on his foot. I don't know how much that is impacting him. I felt like Hunter also really sped Felix up offensively. There was a possession where he had like three misses. kept grabbing the rebound and just chucking it at the rim. Like not under control, not with pace, just chucking it. And that did, none of those fell. I mean, that hurt Ohio State significantly. So another point of emphasis, or another talking point rather, that came out of this game, when it comes to the offense, I thought this was interesting. As Holtman was asked about the fact that Ohio State ended up 12 of 17 from the line, but only took 5 free throws in the second half. And so he was asked about, did you settle for too many jumpers? He said, at times he probably settled. Then he said, listen, we need to take more threes. I've said that to our guys. There's certain guys that need to take more threes. Sean needs to take 2 or 3 more threes a game. I'm not sure I had a big issue with some of the threes that we took tonight in this game. I was watching Sean McNeil in this game, and it just seemed like every time they thought they were maybe going to try to get him a three or get him a look, like it just, they were really, really guarding him and just not letting him get open. So I said, how do you do that? Like, what do you need to do to draw up more for Sean McNeil? And I hear you readers, texters, why don't they get, it's the same question we got for the last 2 years. Why aren't they drawing up more plays for Justin Arns? Now it's, why aren't they drawing up more plays for Sean McNeil? So I said, I asked that question today. Holtman said, we probably have to use him as a screener a little more. He's got to be better at screening. Guys have to screen for him, but he has to screen a little more. And then, excuse me. And then we've been saying it here for months now, Sean's got to get some more in transition than what he gets. We've got to find him more, and he's got to run harder. He's got to get some cleaner looks in transition than he's been getting. Thought that was interesting. You know, we think about this team. I mean, how many times a game you hear them screaming for this team to push the ball when they have opportunities, push the ball, push the ball. And I'm always thinking about like Bruce getting the rim or Bryce getting the rim or Justice getting the rim, but they want Sean getting threes off of that as well. He's taken 97 threes right now, with the 3 3-point attempts in this game, he's taken exactly 100 three-pointers this season. He's 38 for 100. So he's shooting 38%, which is just shy of his career best. And seems to be about roughly on track with the number of threes that he's taken before during his 3 years at West Virginia. But they want and need him to take more. And I know this is something I talked about leading into the Indiana game, that this is a team that can shoot the three, but just really doesn't. As of Sunday night, according to KenPom, Ohio State is 27th nationally, 37.6% from three, but is 287th in total percentage of points coming from three-pointers. And 330th in three-pointers compared to, or only 30% of Ohio State's attempts are three-pointers, and that's 330th in the country. So, yeah. They want Ohio State shooting more threes. I thought that was, we'll see. I mean, you got to find a way to shake some more offense loose, come up with a few things to change something. And that's, to me, that seems like an opportunity for sure. I did get some questions about, like in the second half, you know, why didn't they go to Bryce quicker? It's actually, I think, challenged by somebody that it seemed to imply that I wouldn't have the courage to ask such a daunting question. But, you know, I did. Bryce did not start the second half, just like he didn't start the first half. He checked in at the 15:53 mark and within two possessions hit his 1 3-pointer of the game. But I asked about just in general, like when you're starting a half, like how much are you looking for specific guys to get shots or flow of offense, or like how are you, you know, what goes into that? Holtman said, quote, as much as anything, we're trying to help each other play to their strengths. Good teams, they understand each other's strengths and play to them. They allow each other to grow into their role and what they do well. When we're playing well offensively, we do that. I don't know if it's a specific guy we're trying to attack or a specific guy we're trying to get the ball to. We're really trying to just play and see what the defense gives us. I think we had stretches where the ball moved and others where it didn't as well as it needed to. And that's when the offense gets inefficient. So ultimately, it's just, add this to the pile of what is becoming a
disappointing, Big Ten slate. I mean, this is Ohio State is not accustomed to losing like this. And when you start looking at like how long it's been since they've had losing streaks like this, I mean, it's you start going back to that horrific 97-98 season where Ohio State lost 17 in a row. This obviously isn't quite that. Thank goodness for Iowa, I suppose, but also thank goodness for, you know, this team did play a really pretty solid game in that game and you know, was able to take advantage of being on its home court and play fast and do the things it needed to do to generate some momentum in that game. And we just haven't seen as much of that, you know, really since. One of the stats that continues to jump out at me when you start looking at like how much time has Ohio State led in some of these games. Ohio State led Purdue for 25 minutes and 40 seconds. It then led at Maryland for 6 minutes, 54 seconds. It led Minnesota for a minute, 42. It led Rutgers for 21 minutes and 41 seconds. It led at Nebraska for 8 minutes and 33 seconds. It led Iowa for 31 minutes and 10 seconds. At Illinois, it led for 3 minutes and 37 seconds. And at Indiana for 6 minutes and 29 seconds. So now you're talking in the last four games, Ohio State has led for roughly 10 minutes. And that's when Bruce Thornton talks about playing tight and feeling the pressure, I think when you're constantly playing from behind, that's significant. Last thing before my voice completely gives out on me, because we did ask Chris Holtman, like bringing Bryce Sensabaugh off the bench. And I do think that's a bit overstated right now, given that he played twice as much as Isaac Likely. But Holtman said, seeing the game sometimes helps. He got in foul trouble last game. Bryce is going to play a consistent role. I know people get wrapped up in starting. He's going to play starters minutes. He also said, he's going to have consistent starter minutes right now. In some ways, we obviously need him on the floor. The foul trouble the other night hurt us. I think it probably hurt us finishing the game. He's going to play starter type minutes, whether he's starting or coming off the bench. So I'll have more stuff here at dispatch.com and BuckeyeXtra.com in the next couple of days. And I might try to, again, squeeze in a podcast between now and Northwestern. Had a lot of fun last week taking your questions. So look for a text on that if you're a text subscriber, because that's I enjoy doing it that way. But for now, I'm gonna get out of here. Enjoy listening on the drive up. I listened to a podcast about Green Day, and then I rock out to it's time in the car. I've got gotten lots of good new music lately. I've listened to the Fratelli's album that I picked up the other day, Eyes Wide, Tongue Tied, which has an awesome jam called Imposters (parentheses Little by Little). Maybe I like it because one of the all-time greatest Oasis songs is Little by Little, but that's a good one. I also listened to some Angela Pearlie on this drive. And then on the way back, I went back down memory lane a little bit and played some Good News for People Who Love Bad News by Modest Mouse, which I had not listened to in a long time. That takes me back to carrying my portable CD player around campus and going to class in college. And playing most of that album on the jukebox at Larry's. So shout out to anybody that used to frequent Larry's. That was our bar, and it no longer exists. But I also got the anniversary re-release of Green Day's Nimrod album that I'm excited to listen to and check out the demos for that. So I'll have more thoughts on that probably in the next podcast. But for now, I am going to get out of here because my voice is trying to leave me right now. As always, you can send along your questions, your comments, your love notes, your hate mail, and otherwise constructive criticism to me at Adam Jardy on Twitter or ajardydispatch.com. Thanks as always for listening. Thanks to Patrick Flaherty for dealing with all the pauses I had to take to gather myself and gather my voice. Be back with you in a couple of days. We have interviews with Chris Holtman on Monday and some players on Tuesday. So stay tuned for what comes out of that. Until then, take care, be kind, and I'll talk to you soon.
Be sure and subscribe to the Buckeye Extra podcast in the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store, or on Stitcher.